This is a Dragon Blazer production.
And it sucks! Welcome to Pro Wrestling Apologist Podcast, where we love pro wrestling, and sometimes that's okay. So, I'm Craig Atkins, your host. I'm here with my kayfabe brother, Steven.
Hey, everyone.
And up top, I'm going to address the first episode. I realized I was way too quiet, so now I'm speaking more directly into the microphone. We have a friend, Rage, of the Rage Ablaze podcast, who obviously suggested that I have this monotone voice, and he suggests that I pep up my voice. But unfortunately, this voice that I have is the one that Sherry and Donald gave me, and the good Lord. So I am, because I can't really pep my voice up properly, I don't have a voice for radio, but I'm giving it a shot. I'm going to use a special tool for emphasis when I believe emphasis needs to be made on my voice. So hopefully that is good enough, obviously, for Rage. And I also want to give a shout out to our biggest fan, Tori, who's just the biggest. He's listened to every episode of this show.
And all two of them.
Actually, at this point, only one.
Yeah, well, that's true.
He will have listened to two. And he's just a big fan, big Craig fan, just big fan of me in general. And also, someone has pointed out to me that you could hear a cat in the last episode and making a lot of noise, and I'd like to acknowledge that that cat is actually our producer, Gizmo, and he is a cat. He cannot help that he makes cat sounds, but he's trying as a producer. So, Steven, how's it going?
It's going well.
It's good.
Good.
It's good. That's going well.
Good, good.
So today, I guess we're gonna watch AEW Fyter Fest Part 1. We're gonna watch, we're gonna talk about it. Sound good?
Great.
Okay. So Fyter Fest starts with Jericho's music hitting Judas. And he comes out for commentary wearing a very Canadian suit. And he calls Excalibur a masked idiot. And that's when MJF and Wardlow come to the ring. MJF cuts a pretty great promo.
It was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. Very good heel promo.
Yeah, he's one of the best heels in the business right now. He calls Luchasaurus a dino douche who's real green, and he's not talking about the color of his tongue. I believe he called out Jungle Boy for counting his daddy's money in California, which is rough. His dad, obviously Luke Perry.
Yeah.
Who has passed away. And, then Jurassic Express comes out to none of the theatrics. Their pyro goes off, but they ignore it. They're just going right to the ring, and they get right to business. The match starts.
Yeah, it was a very good match. Actually, very exciting match.
Great opener.
In fact, I started watching this without you, and then was like, I think we need to do a podcast on it. Because I was having so much fun. There was a lot of exciting moves that were done.
We have a guest podcaster today, by the way. It's Remington.
Yes.
Steven's son, who is adding. Hi, Remy. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Carry on.
So, we got couple dinosaurs in there, a Jungle Boy.
Just one dinosaur and a son of a Hollywood star.
Well, I would say one of the most interesting things is both Wardlow and the Luchasaurus. They are very agile, large men.
Very. And yeah, I don't. I'm going to admit I don't watch every AEW show, and I don't watch Dark. I don't think I've really seen Wardlow wrestle before, and I was very impressed with him. He was a great wrestler.
Yeah, it was really impressive. Wardlow, I believe, did a Swanton bomb.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a huge guy doing a Swanton. Very impressive. I really enjoyed Jungle Boy jumped off of the Luchasaurus and did like a reverse Hurricanrana, if I remember right.
Yeah,
it was a lot of entertaining spots, and it was like boom, boom, boom.
Luchasaurus slaps MJF in the chest, and MJF just folds in half.
Yeah, it was.
That a great spot where all four guys are down.
Oh,
and Jungle Boy and MJF both kip up at the same time. And then right afterward, Wardlow and Luchasaurus, the big guys, they both kip up. It's just a really cool moment.
Yeah, it was. That was right. That led up to the jumping off of Luchasaurus that I just talked about. The ending was a lot of excitement too.
Well, leading up to the end, MJF reaches into his ball sack and pulls out a ring and tries to punch Luchasaurus with it, and he misses.
Yeah.
And then Luchasaurus kicks his fist into Wardlow's face.
Yeah. Tried to cheat, didn't get away with it. And then what was that final move that Luchasaurus does?
Well, I know he did a choke slam.
Oh, yep.
And then Wardlow started immediately sitting up from the kicks from the choke slam.
Yeah, and then he kicked him back down and pinned him.
Yeah.
And then 1-2-3, and this match is over. Jurassic Express wins. Yeah. Really fun match.
Yeah, very fun opener.
Yeah.
Marco Stunt tried to get involved at one point, and at per usual, he was just caught by Wardlow and thrown onto Jungle Boy. It was his big involvement, and then afterward he gets to celebrate with the team.
Well, anything else you want to say about this match?
That one's in the bag. Go to the next one. Just a fun opener.
Really fun.
Okay. Come back from the commercials, and we get an advertisement with this huge lead-up. And JR saying, this is a main event for the ages. That's right, Remington. He's our producer tonight, Remy, because Gizmo couldn't be here today.
He's sleeping for the 16th hour.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, we get an advertisement with a huge lead up, and JR is saying, this is a main event for the ages. For the first time in AEW history, then a countdown, and next week, after Fyter Fest, Part 2 is the All Elite Puppy Battle Royale.
I know I'm really excited about that.
The All Elite Wrestling Puppy Battle Royale.
It was, Remy thought they were very cute puppies.
Then, right after, we go to Archer and Joey Janela are going at it, fighting side stage. And then our next match, the Superfly Girl, Penelope Ford with Kip Sabian. She comes out, and then the champion, Hikaru Shida, comes out. And I still hate the look of the women's title. Don't like the weird little tiny women's title. Referee Aubrey Edwards kicks Kip Sabian out right away.
Yeah. Yeah, making this a much more even match.
And then the match starts.
Yeah, and it was a pretty decent match. I liked the first match a little bit better, but this was a fun match. Some really cool...
A lot of people are calling this one the match of the night, and I don't know... I mean, we have to watch the rest of the matches, but I don't... I think I did enjoy the first one a little bit, but I thought this was a great match.
Really fun. Really, yeah, really good match. There was the one thing, the Matrix Dodge. The Matrix Dodge was amazing. Shido gets on top of she gets on top of the turnbuckle, and she tries to do a flying clothesline, I believe it was.
No, it was a kick.
It was a kick. My apologies. And Ford just does this back spring dodge.
Yeah, this, Matrix dodge. Like she's dodging bullets, but it's feet.
It was just very impressive by Ford. And then Ford does this really nice springboard stunner on Sheeta. I really enjoyed that as well. Then you had Kip Sabian decides to come out while the referee, Aubrey, you said her name was?
Yeah.
Aubrey was talking to Ford. Obviously, Ford was distracting the referee. And Kip comes out with a kendo stick and tries to hit Sheeta with it. Sheeta blocks it and he drops.
Pops up in the air.
Yeah, pops up in the air. She catches it, whacks him with it. He gets thrown out. She comes in, and then she does a running like knee strike, and then a Falcon Arrow, and tries to pin the kick. There's a kick out, but then she does the knee strike again, and gets the 1-2-3. And Sheeta wins this match. Stays the women's champion.
Yes. Yeah, I thought it was a really good match. Really entertaining. I'm not the biggest fan of AEW's women's division. I think WWE and NXT especially.
Remy has some things to say about that too.
Has a much better.
He said this was really good.
But yeah, I think WWE and NXT has a much better women's division overall. And this is this match really impressed me. I thought Penelope Ford was a breakout in this match.
Yeah.
Jericho called it the best match of her career. I haven't really seen the other matches in her career, so I don't know if I can.
I'm just going to take Jericho for his word.
Yeah, I'm just going to go with it. Sounds good to me. Best match of her career.
Yeah, it was a good match. She was very impressive in the match. All right, well, let's go on to our next one.
All right, and we're going to go to the next match. Jake Hager versus Cody. The TNT title. Cody has a t-shirt that says the American Nightmare Cody. It's modeled after the Great American Bash logo. I thought that was pretty cool. And, match starts.
This one was kind of a slowdown for me.
Yeah, it was.
After the last two matches, they were really good. There was a... I'm trying to think of anything that was in this match that was really that... exciting.
They had the usual Cody spots with the drop and the drop down on his back and punch up that he borrowed from his brother.
Yeah, the most exciting part of this match is the ending.
Well, we had the moment where Hager stops to choke Arn Anderson. Jericho calls him Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
Enjoyed that.
We just talk about how great Jericho is on the commentary.
Been a lot of fun on commentary.
Yeah, he really is. But this one ends with Hager's wife, Catalina, slaps Cody.
She it looked to me like it might have been acting, but it looked to me like her reaction to slapping him, it looked like she accidentally slapped him too hard and had an actual, like, visceral reaction to, like, ooh, like, oh, sorry.
No,
like,
I'm so sorry.
Like, she had, like, this, like, oops look on her face. It might have just been, like, her trying to play the heel, but it looks like... Oh, and then there was also a moment during the picture-in-picture where she stepped on Cody's torso while it was laid out.
Yeah. Well, then... after the slap, Arn Anderson starts yelling at the ref for And then Dustin Rhodes, or he's not called Dustin Rhodes here, is he?
I think he is, yeah.
Is he? Okay.
He's, yeah, the natural again.
The natural Dustin Rhodes comes down and hits Jake Hager.
Yep.
And then, but that doesn't stop Hager. Hager actually counters and tries to do a submission on Cody, and then Cody does a weird pin.
Yeah, like a triangle.
Yeah.
Pin.
Like he was, Jake still had him in the submission, but Cody had the shoulders on the mat and gets the 1-2-3.
Then afterward, Jake punches the ref.
As you do. Yeah. So, yeah. It was kind of a...
Yeah, it was a little bit of a slowdown.
First one that's a title... No, actually, the women's title was on the line, so... But it was just not as good as the first two matches.
Yeah.
In my opinion. But
Cody wins, Cody retains the TNT title.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now we return, and Darby Allin is seen in a black and white video... Just complaining that he's not medically cleared and then he skateboards with his bros.
Nobody cares.
Oh, I mean, Darby Allin's cool. Darby, yeah, it was kind of a pointless thing.
Yeah.
So we go back and freshly squeezed. Orange Cassidy's coming out with blood still on his shirt from last week to sit at commentary with Jericho. And Jericho isn't thrilled about it. He calls him dipshit Cassidy. And he's just complaining the entire match that Cassidy, in typical Cassidy fashion, just lays there and just
doesn't,
no reaction. I think he fell asleep.
Does not care at all.
No. And Santana and Ortiz come out versus Private Party, accompanied by Team Extreme Matt Hardy, per Private Party's request to...
Yeah.
Give advice and help him out. And then the match starts.
This was a very fun match.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
There was a lot. This one, I don't know if I liked this one or the first match better.
Both were a lot of fun.
This one had a lot of fun tag team style moves. Like, these tag teams were just like...
This is an example of the kind of match that you want to point somebody to for to show what AEW is all about. A lot of tag team wrestling, like a lot of fast-paced action. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of cool moves. That started out with Santana and Cassidy in the ring. Not Orange, but...
Isaiah.
Isaiah Cassidy. And Santana gives him a free shot.
Yeah, that was cool.
But, and then it ends with probably one of my favorite tag team finishers I've ever seen. He said it's called, Gin and Juice.
Gin and Juice, yeah.
It was a, hurricanrana off the top rope, and then the,
into like a cutter.
Yeah, into a, like a stunner or a, diamond cutter, yeah. It was just really impressive.
Yeah.
I've
always loved that.
It was a really cool
Private Party
finisher.
Doesn't get a whole lot of attention in AEW, and I think this was a really good profile match for him.
Really good showcasing of
I like
moves.
The weird combination of them just adding Matt Hardy as their mentor.
Yeah. Yeah. All around, this was just...
Really enjoyed throughout the entire match, Jericho just getting increasingly pissed off at Orange Cassidy, just oranging it up there.
He's just
bitching about him sitting there.
Orange doesn't say anything, doesn't look at him, he just...
Per usual.
Just relaxing during the match.
And after the match, Orange just stands up, and Jericho starts yelling at him, starts asking what he's going to do. He just kind of kicks his chair over, and Jericho, like, acts like he's going to attack him, and then everybody starts separating him, separating the two, and Orange just kind of
really
casually walks off.
Really trying to build up for next week.
Yeah. and Jericho with all the charisma in the world, and Orange Cassidy with none of the charisma.
He doesn't
at all, but they're still two of my favorites in the company. I really enjoy these two a lot.
I think I'm willing to say I like Matt a lot too.
I think Jericho's my all-time favorite wrestler.
Yeah.
And Orange is becoming one of my favorites in AEW.
Absolutely.
Okay. And next we go to a short promo from Kenny Omega and Hangman. Just basically say they're going to win.
Yeah.
And we go to the show. Taz and Brian Cage come out to the ring. Taz says he had a conversation with Tony Khan. Khan says that John Moxley is concerned about the health of his colleagues and has been tested twice and he's cleared of coronavirus. He says if Mox shows up next week, he'd be tested again because AEW doesn't run a sloppy shop. A little unnecessary jab at WWE with their current problems with the coronavirus. But I got to point out, I did not see anybody ringside wearing masks. Where WWE does have the... Now, mind you, the coronavirus did spread around WWE. But they do have the plexiglass separating, and people have been starting to wear masks. But, yeah. I don't think that was a necessary jab.
No.
I know. And WWE deserves some criticism, but I don't think they deserve it from their competitor on television. But it is what it is. Of course, Jon Moxley's wife, Renee Young, announcer for WWE, does have coronavirus, or did have coronavirus.
Yeah.
Anywho, Taz says the real reason Mox doesn't show up is because he has a case of the chicken shits. So that match will not be happening next week on Fyter Fest Part 2. Instead, it's going to happen the following week on another event that AEW is having, Fight for the Fallen. Not sure if we're going to cover that one or not. We'll figure that out. On July 15th.
That one's going to be on TV again, just like this one? Or
I believe so. Fight for the Fallen, July 15th. Yes, because that is on a Wednesday. So, yeah, it's going to be another television event. We might cover it. We'll figure it out. That's for a conversation off the air. So, the best friends with the best entrance of the night. They come out in a minivan driven by Trent's mom, Sue. She says, have fun to them, and reminds Trenty to come back and give her a kiss.
It was classy. It was a very classy entrance.
It was great.
Trent's mom.
Hangman Page comes out to some pyro. It's pretty cool. Gets in there, gets in the face of the best friends. Then Omega comes out, also to pyro. They point out that the tag team has had an impressive 162-day reign as tag team champions. Spoiler alert, that continues. And here's the match.
Yeah, and this was a pretty good match. I still feel like the other two tag matches were a little more exciting, but this is still
really... This was a really fun match.
It was a really good match. Some very rough spike pile
and
drivers.
Toward the beginning of the match, FTR comes out to sit at the announce table. They don't speak, but they just sit there and drink beers. FTR, what's it stand for? We don't know. They've never said. I'm going to say today it stands for formerly The Revival.
Right. We had those. You don't see pile drivers as much, especially if you're more of a WWE fan.
Yeah,
and it's just
it's yeah. We haven't been seeing them in a while, and it is jarring to watch.
Well, it's not just jarring, but like the pile drivers they were doing in this match were just like, they looked rough.
Yeah.
There were spike pile drivers, and they were just, they looked so
dangerous. Yeah, we're just not used to seeing guys getting dropped on their heads anymore.
Yeah, and then there was the Trent countered a moonsault from Omega. That was a really fun spot.
Yeah.
There was just a lot of really fun moves, but mostly single moves compared to, like, the last two matches where there was a lot of fun tag team moves.
Yeah.
And then it ends
all with... All the best matches tonight were tag team matches. It was pretty much all tag team matches.
That women's match was really
good. It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Actually, that's all we had was the women's title match and then Jake Hager and Cody. But yeah, I mean, it was a good show.
Yeah.
But it ends with, they call it, Adam Page does a buckshot lariat. And gets the pin and wins. And then the FTR comes down after and the offers match, some beers.
Yeah, after the match, FTR comes out to share beers with the victors. They both toast them. And, of course, Paige gladly accepts the beer. And Omega acts like he's going to drink it, but then he pours it out. FTR and Paige.
That was quite rude. I mean, that's alcohol abuse, and I don't condone it.
FTR and Paige aren't thrilled about the beer spillage, but the Bucks come out to kind of keep the peace between the teams, and that's the end of the show. It goes off the air with the Bucks kind of keeping the peace between Omega and FTR and Paige, who Paige sided with FTR on the alcohol abuse.
I think we can both agree the least favorite match of the night would be the Jake Hager.
Hager and Cody.
It wasn't even a bad match.
No, it was a good
match. But compared to the rest of the show, it doesn't compare.
Yeah. Night one was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Those tag matches were excellent, and that really defines AEW for me. Is the best tag team wrestling in wrestling is AEW. Yep. WWE's improving with the tag teams. I mean, it's been pretty bad with the tag teams for a while, but they're really improving. I think AEW and WWE are both, they're really shining as much as they can through this coronavirus mess.
Yeah.
They're putting on good shows. AEW, I think, generally has the edge over WWE. My heart's still with WWE. Long-time fan, and you know, I watch the product more and pay attention to the product more than I do AEW. But man, I'm never disappointed by AEW. It's always extremely entertaining show. Well, and I find myself often being disappointed with WWE that I spend a lot more time watching.
Well, AEW never slowed down either. Like WWE at first. Like,
no, they
didn't
right
know what
there,
they were doing at the
at
beginning.
At the beginning of this whole thing, you know, they were having the Matt Hardy debut, which would have been a lot bigger in front of a crowd. And they realized, you know, it's going to be a while before we have a crowd. We might as well do this. Matt Hardy right here. And they used the empty arena to their benefit, and AEW has been really shining in this empty arena era. disappointingly call it that.
Yeah.
We had a little mic problem. Little
technical difficulties.
Our producer has gone to Betty Buy. So now Steven's over here just effing it all up.
Yep.
What in the hell? So the card for next week's night two of Fyter Fest, we've got, and I don't know what order this will be on TV, but this is what we got. We got Omega and Paige versus Private Party.
Oh, that should be good. I mean, Private Party was very impressive.
And I don't know. We might actually see Private Party take those belts. I don't. I I don't think they are, because I think they're setting up for a potential feud with FTR.
So what do we say we do with predictions for all of these?
Okay. Well, you toss those predictions at me as I read them. I think Omega and Paige are going to hang on to them.
I was impressed by Private Party. I'm going to go with Private Party tonight.
All right. We got FTR, Cash Wheeler, and Dax Harwood as, of course, FTR, I say formerly The Revival. I don't know what it actually stands for. I don't think they know what it stands for. They're teaming up with the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson, versus the Butcher and the Blade and the Lucha Brothers. This is going to be an insane match. This might end up being the match of that night. It's, I mean,
eight man tag
with some of the best tag teams there are. It's, I mean, Butcher and Blade they don't impress me, but everybody else in the match is phenomenal. So this is going to be a blast. This one might be the match of the night.
I think I'm going to go with FTR, that team.
Yeah, I think so too. I think definitely. We're going to have Colt Cabana and the Dark Order, represented by Brody Lee and Stu Grayson, versus SoCal Uncensored, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky.
Go with the Dark Order for me.
Yeah, sounds about right. Nyla Rose versus To Be Announced. I don't know who the To Be Announced is going to be.
I'm going to go with To Be Announced.
Let's go with To Be Announced. Let's go with To Be Announced. Murderhawk, Lance Archer with the great Jake the Snake versus Joey Janela. Joey Janela's not going to win that match.
I'm going to go with Jake the Snake is going to win that match.
He's not in the match.
Jake the Snake is going to come into that match and win.
He's not in that match.
Okay, Murderhawk.
And I'd like to point out a correction from the Rage and Blaze show, specifically this guy Blaze, who said that Jake the Snake is not known as Jake the Snake in AEW and does not carry a snake. He definitely does both of those things.
I think Blaze said he wasn't sure because he wasn't following AEW.
Yeah.
He is about to start. Thank you.
And, of course, I don't know if this is the main event, but it's the main event in my heart. Chris Jericho versus freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy.
This is a tough one. I've loved both of these guys. Loved Jericho for many years.
Orange could use the win. He doesn't get a lot of wins, you know. And yeah. Jericho's all about pushing the new talent these days. Just kind of his thing.
Yeah, I think I'll go with Orange as well, but it's a tough one to pick because I love them both. They're both fantastic characters.
And sorely missing from this show is Sammy Guevara, one half of Les Sex Gods. unfortunately, the news about him, the reason he hasn't been there is he made some very poor word choice. Somebody had uncovered a podcast from years ago when he was doing a WWE tryout, and he saw Sasha Banks and made a comment about how he would like to rape her. Not cool.
I don't know if that sound effect is appropriate this time, but
he. Yeah, very stupid comments. I like it. It, of course, he's not actually being accused of any of the same sexual allegations that a lot of wrestlers are being accused of. I like what AEW's doing here. AEW made the statement AEW insists on doing our part to create a world of understanding and respect for humankind. We therefore strongly condemn the extremely offensive and hurtful words of Sammy Guevara. AEW said in a statement, Sammy has agreed to undergo extensive sensitivity training, and upon completion, his future status within the company will be evaluated. During his suspension, Guevara's salary will be donated to the Women's Center of Jacksonville.
That's nice.
Sasha Banks herself put out a statement on Twitter. She said, earlier I spoke with Sammy. He apologized and we had an open discussion. Words like the comments he made, jokingly or not, have absolutely no place in our society. I don't condone or tolerate this kind of behavior. What one thinks is just a side comment can have a massive impact on someone else's life and can send the wrong message. We have to hold ourselves accountable for our actions and the words we say, and I hope this situation shows him that. I hope from this point on, in order for growth and change within our community to take place, we all continue to have these conversations. No person, man, woman, or child should ever be subjected to a feeling of fear or any unsafe environment. We all have to do better, not just for ourselves, but for generations to come. Very good statement.
Yeah.
The latest on that, Cody responded to someone on Twitter, a fan, saying, or, you know, in response to them asking to this on the status on of Sammy, Rhodes confirmed that the Spanish God, quote unquote, will be back in AEW and he'll be a better man when he does return. So, very classy. they're not just firing him. They're giving him a second chance. He's getting the punishment he rightfully
deserves.
But they're not going to end his career. And you know, Sammy's a great wrestler, sorely missed from this show. But he'll be, as Cody said, he'll be back. He'll be better. I think he's hopefully learned his lesson from this.
All right.
So, well, that's it for our coverage of part one of Fyter Fest, and we will be covering part two of it next week.
Yep. All right.
So, thanks, Steven, for staying through this fun show with me.
It was a very fun show.
All right. So, plug your pluggable, Steven.
All right. Well, you can follow me on Instagram at Dragon Blazer Productions, at Twitter, Dragon Blazer Pro, and my Facebook fan page is Dragon Blazer Productions.
And, of course, you can follow the show at PW Apologists on the Twitters. And forever and always, we love pro wrestling.
We do.
And sometimes that's okay.